I'm Chinee Ogwumike.
I'm Lisa Leslie, and we're very excited to tell you about our new podcast with Blue Wire, Front and Center.
Lisa and I are breaking down what's going on in our lives, in the world, and keeping it 100.
We're also learning from amazing guests as well, like Emmanuel Acho.
People that show love to me, I forever got their back.
Vivica A. Fox.
If the foundation isn't right, then the rest of it's going to go wrong from there.
And more.
Subscribe to Front and Center today.
In October of 2019, Mike Maniscalco thought he could die because a doctor in San Jose told him he had a basketball-sized tumor in his stomach. October of 2020, Mike is healthy and landed his dream job as the new TV play-by-play voice of the Carolina Hurricanes. What's up, everyone? Welcome to the latest edition of the Capitol Building Podcast, part of Blue Wire Podcast. I am the host, Rob Carlin. Please like, subscribe, download, write a review, leave a rating, all the things that help get the word out about the Capitol Building Podcast, the most in-depth Caps podcast anywhere. Mike Maniscalco, for a long time now, has been the pre- and post-game host and the sideline reporter on the Carolina Hurricanes TV broadcast. And as you will hear in this really fascinating interview that is a tough listen at times, he found out on the road, almost live on television, that he was sick because he was sweating so badly because he had this tumor inside of him that not only did his producer notice it and take him off the air, his wife back home in Raleigh texted him because she noticed how bad he looked on air. Within a couple of days, a day I think it was, later on that night really after a flight to San Jose, he found out about this tumor that I didn't realize that if a tumor gets this big, it's actually not as scary as it could be, which is what he found out very matter-of-factly. And so imagine going from what you think for a moment in a hotel, or rather in a hospital on the other side of the country from your wife and family, that your life is in the balance, your career is in the balance, the people you love are going to be hit with this incredibly tough news, to... That's a nightmare, right? That is an absolute and utter nightmare. And now he's living out his wildest dreams one calendar year. And by the way, that calendar year is 2020. Nothing good happens in 2020 except to Mike Maniscalco, who literally got his life back and then some. So it really is a remarkable story. He's going to take over for John Forslund. There's a enormous shoes to fill, but he's got the blessing from Forslund himself. And oh, by the way, at the end of the interview, the Carolina Hurricanes gonna be really good again. They got that team is loaded, despite the fact that they did not go after Braden Holtby, or at least didn't land him, nor did they go after any of the litany of free agent goalies. But that is a team that sounds like is ready to contend again and potentially could be a contender for a long time to come. So, get a tissue. And if you're driving, be prepared for this to rock you a little bit, because this is a really tough interview with a guy who has been through a lot, Here's my conversation with the new TV play-by-play voice of the Carolina Hurricanes. It's Mike Maniscalco. Well, Mike, there's not many people whose story of 2020 is actually one of hope and success and things going their way, but yours is certainly that way. But let's go back to 2019 in October, when from reading the story that you did with The Athletic, so you're at a game in LA,
yep,
sweating bullets, which I've been in that situation before, but how did everyone kind of know this isn't just he's been running around sweating, something's wrong?
Well, I'd gotten a flu shot on Friday before we traveled out to Los Angeles, Rob. So, you know, I get on the team plane, and as you know, when you're around the team, the last thing you want to tell anybody is you think you have the flu, because right. they banish you. But I'm like, oh, you know, I woke up and my stomach felt off. You know, I don't want to say that I had a stomach ache, but, you know, we've all been there. And I'm like, ah, you know, I got a flu shot. Maybe it took a couple of days. I'll just, you know, I'll sleep this off in the hotel room. We'll be fine. So that's Monday. We fly all the way across coast. Wake up Tuesday. I don't feel better. I don't feel worse. I'm like, all right, I just got to wait this thing out. That's what it comes down to. Get to the game, and now it starts to amplify. Like, it's real stomach pain that I'm going through. And my producer caught it early. He's like, are you okay? He goes, you don't seem yourself. You seem a little off. And then my wife is watching the game, and my stage manager is there. He's like, what do you need? What can I get you? I'm like, well, just keep getting me water. Like, when I drink water, I'd feel better. I know it sounds weird, but it's feeling better. My wife sends me a text. She's watching the game. And she goes, is it hot in the Staples Center? And I go, no, it's freezing. And she goes, well, you're sweating, and I notice it. She sends me that text. The producer, Jim Malia, who's just outstanding, our producer, goes, you're sweating a lot. He goes, you're done. And he goes, I'm not going to have you do anything else. So I went and I talked to an EMT before the start of the third period, and they do all of the tests. And meanwhile, I was talking to the Hurricanes trainers, and we're all diagnosing everything. So I have this list, Rob, of things I don't have, right? but not what I have. And the EMT goes, well, it's not this and it's not this. He goes, I think you should go to the emergency room, which any sane individual would have done. But the Canes were playing San Jose the next night. And I'm like, no, I'm going to get on the plane. I'm going to fly to San Jose. And tomorrow morning when I wake up, if I feel like this, I'll go to an emergency room or an urgent care. And the EMT is like, oh, you really should go. Because he goes, I don't know what it is. Like, no, then I'll be fine. Get on the plane, try to go to sleep that night, can't go to sleep. It's about 2:30 in the morning, California time. I start looking up emergency rooms. I Uber myself to an emergency room. And then about 4 hours later, a doctor walks into the emergency room that I'm in and says, we found a rather sizable mass in your stomach. And I'm like, yeah, that reaction right there is, is what I have, Rob. So immediately, and the first word he used was the size of a basketball.
Oh my God.
And I mean, I'm a big guy. You've seen me, and I'm, you know, a little upset.
You're saying I'm overweight, Doc? Is that what you're trying to tell me? Right? I know. I can lose a few, right?
Trust me. That's what you tell me. But he's like a basketball. And I forgive the doctor for that because he had small hands. But it was really more the size of a volleyball, which it was. I got the official size when it came out. But it was, you know, it was kind of nerve-wracking. But it's funny where you find comfort or calm in situations like that. I let my wife know. She was a rock star through all of this. She was amazing because I had honestly texted her because she's like, there's two flights from Raleigh that could get her out to San Jose. One would have left at like noon and one would have left at like 3. And I'm like, I'm going to get out of here in an hour. They're going to like diagnose this because I'd had a sports hernia and an umbilical hernia surgery. I thought something ripped apart inside. I'm like, at worst, they're going to give me some pain meds. They'll get it fixed when we come back to Raleigh. And then they diagnosed that. But I had texted her. I'm like, I'm going to be out of here in an hour. So don't worry about it. So she called. She's like, are you sure? I'm like, I'm fine. She's like, all right, hang up that phone. And honestly, 4 minutes later, the doctor walks in and says, we found this. This is what it's at. We got to move you to another hospital.
Oh, my God.
So she gets up. Yeah. She gets out there, but the Hurricanes, Mike Sunheim was great. Jim Malia, the producer who had previously diagnosed it on air. It's the game day. He takes an hour and a half out of his day just to get into the room and be there with you. And, you know, every thought goes through your head of, you know, I said it in the article in The Athletic. Well, it was a good run, you know, with what I got to do. Like, you start thinking that. But then as it moved on, the doctors and the care that I got from San Jose Valley Medical Center to getting to come to Raleigh and the doctors here, because I got to fly across country. I won't bear everybody with the full internal details, Rob, but I used a lot of good luck on my bad luck to get to this spot. And I'm grateful for every moment since.
I mean, I can hear the emotion in your voice. I can't imagine being on the other side of the country from your wife and your family. It's the middle of the night. I mean, just so many things. And I think most people, but certainly most guys would be like, I'll be fine. I ate something, you know, and guys of our size are like, I'm always dealing with some kind of stomach issue. I don't feel well, but man, that feeling of fear and being real. And I know the team's there and your friends that you work with, but being that far away, I mean, it had to be just a little bit frightening for you at that moment.
Yeah.
Lonely, because, almost lonely feeling.
Well, because it's one of those things where I also like I'm starting a clock in my head, like the team's going to play and they're going to leave San Jose. And then what happens from this point on? And, you know, you wait for I knew my wife was coming into town, but you never knew when that was going to take. But it's funny because I tried to keep it quiet. I didn't want it to get out. The one good thing is the East Coast being, you know, 3 hours ahead. I knew I wasn't waking somebody up out of a sleep to be like, hey, this is what's going on. I knew that. I know my wife's schedule, so I knew she was up when I started texting her. It's like I didn't take her out of a sleep for that. And then the Canes PR director, who wasn't on the trip, Mike Sundheim, who I know you've dealt with a million times, he was back in Raleigh, so I knew I could contact him because I wasn't going to wake up Pace Sagister, who was out, and he was amazing once he woke up and everything that they needed to do. But you get that there were those moments where I was waiting for everything, where it's what you say, you hate to be alone in your own head with those things, with those thoughts.
Oh, for sure.
And you know, like I said, you start going to a point. And so there's one quick thing I'll share about it. The one thing that calmed me down, and it's going to sound weird. So I told you the doctor came in and said it was the size of a basketball. So he goes, I'll leave you. I know you got to make some calls. I'll leave you to do that. So I did. And he comes back in about 15, 20 minutes later. And he goes, so do you have any questions? And I have one major question. I go, so what are the odds that this is really, really bad? I'm dealing with something bad here. And I don't know why this was the thing that kind of brought me down from, you know, DEFCON 5 back to like 1 or 2. He goes, oh goodness, if this was bad, you wouldn't be here right now. Like, he just said it matter of factly. He said things like this don't get to that size if they're malignant or really bad. And so now I'm sitting there, I'm like, all right, well, there's a doctor telling me, he goes, it didn't tell me it's good, but you know, I was literally sitting there going, they found this. I mean, I'm trying to crunch numbers and
yeah.
And all of a sudden he goes, you know, no. He goes, if they get to this size, they're generally not the worst of the worst.
Oh, so, wow. See, I would have thought the exact opposite. If it's that big, this is, exactly. I'm in back timing my life.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, so there was about a good 45 minutes where, you know, after you do the phone calls and all that, I'm like, all right, so how am I going to handle what they tell me? And you prep yourself for all that. And then he just said that. I'm like, all right, well, that's something. You know, you hang on to hope. And I took the positive outlook from that. And then here we are. So
what did he say was going to be the process then? Was this like, oh, that's good. It's a relatively simple surgery and you go on with your life? Or?
Oh, no.
Okay.
No. His exact words were when they found it, he goes, you know, it's something, a sizable mass. We don't have the surgeon or the space to handle what you have. We have to transfer you. So that was that, you know, 45 minutes of, I'm like, you don't have a surgeon or the facilities to handle this. I'm like, all right,
is this a hospital? Like, what am I doing here?
Right. Exactly. I'm like, I should have went further down on Yelp. So that was one of the thoughts. But no, they took me to, you know, they took me to the next hospital. And there, you know, they discussed every possibility. I mean, I heard everything from chemo to doing a biopsy to not doing a biopsy to we're going to keep you here or we'll have to transfer you to another hospital. And that's where the Hurricanes, when word was getting back to Hurricanes doctors back in Raleigh, were amazing. They're like, hey, if it's this, we got you. We know what to do. We know where we're going to take you or what'll happen there. There was another complication to it. Welcome to the medical hour with Rob and Mike here. there was another complication because of what this is, what I have. It can come back. So, I mean, I'm not in the clear. When it comes back, it's very aggressive. And they're never sure. Like, I want to know how long was this thing in me? And they're like, I don't know. It could have been 3 weeks or 3 years. Mm-hmm. Because 4 in a million diagnoses of tumors, that's what it is, 4 of them are what I was diagnosed with. 4 out of every million.
Oh,
so,
my God.
So they have information, but not a ton. And the doctors turn to me and they go, well, what do you want to do? And I go, I'd like to go back to North Carolina, you know, be near my wife. My family's much closer that way. Cause my family's still all on the East Coast from Buffalo, and they could get down if they need to. So they said, all right, well, there's a problem. This thing attached to your small intestine and ripped it. So now I'm like, oh great. I have this and I might, you know, be septic. Well, then they did all these CT scans. I got very familiar with being able to take those. They go, well, the weirdest thing in the world, the tumor you have wrapped up the hole it created so you can fly home if you want to. Like I said, I caught every break I needed to. And then you get back home and just the support, you know, you wanted to keep it quiet, but you can't.
Right.
Because, you know.
Fairly public job.
Yeah. So if there are a few things I'd do different, I don't know if I'd be as forthcoming with all the information that I had, but I'm like, I didn't know how to play this. And then, you know, that night, Dougie Hamilton scores a goal and does the second intermission interview and says, you know, I'm in a bad way. And, you know, I scored that goal for Mike and, you know, I'm sitting and there's a couple of times where you get emotional over things. You know, I'm watching it on my phone and I'm like, you know,
right.
Waterworks start on that and nurses run in. Are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, our defenseman scored a goal. I'm fine. like, that's unusual. But, you know, all of the, I mean, there's so many folks I can thank and just kept me positive through all of it. When I say everybody on the team texted me or reached out to me. Rod Brindamore was unbelievable through all of this. The front office, Don Waddell, Tom Dundon, it was basically whatever you need, whatever we can do to help, we'll do that. And then I come back cross country and they're waiting for me here to get everything set up. And they did. And they're like, okay, we're going to go in and we're going to take it all out at once because it makes no sense to take it out a little bit at a time. Another funny story, one of the surgeons, his name is Dr. Michael Myers. This happened around Halloween.
Ay, ay, ay.
So I have
they
been
do sliced. It on Friday the 13th or something?
I wish. So I have been sliced open and disemboweled by Michael Myers on Halloween, and I'm still alive. So... still here.
Not many Not people good. Can say that. Not many hey, people me, can say that at all.
Mean like Jamie Lee Curtis. That's about it. So.
You never thought you'd have a link to Jamie Lee Curtis like that.
Exactly.
You ever meet her? It's a hell of a pickup line for you.
Unbelievable. But yeah, so that's it. And then you get the news. You get the news that it's non-cancerous, which goes back to the first doctor saying, you know, it's. I mean, I was prepped for everything. I'm like, it literally then gave, all right, we're going to put a plan. We'll put a list together and here's where we'll go. And then you find that out. And, you know, you hear the stories of the weight of the world gets lifted off of your shoulders. For anybody who is in this fight, I pray they hear those words, non-cancerous or cancer-free, because there is no way to explain that feeling. And then, you know, like I said, Rob, I got so many people to thank. Who kept me positive, who stayed positive through all this. And yeah, it's been a one heck of a year for me.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, 365 days go from an October to an October to where we are right now.
Right. Because I mean, you know, obviously did you worry at all? And this is so far down the line of the immense list of worries that you had, but did you worry at all? Like, what does this mean for my career? I mean, I could be out for a while. Living proof of how quickly they'll move on from you. Yeah. So like, was there a concern of like, what does this mean for me professionally?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Like, you know, early on, and it was far down the list, but
sure.
there are a lot of hours where it's, you know, just you and your thoughts. And the one thing about hospitals, and I don't have a bad thing to say about it. I know a lot of people do. The funny thing is when you finally get to sleep during things like that, they wake you up to make sure you're asleep, which I'll never figure out why. And you start processing things. And it wasn't, I can say it wasn't an immediate thing, but yeah, one of the thoughts was, I'm like, okay, well, if I'm out a while, you know, what does this do? And where do we go from here? But again, the organization was really good with me because of where we were in the situation that was going on. And, you know, they kept me, you know, they kept basically me up to date with everything that was going on and what, you know, their thoughts were. And luckily it never got to the point once I found out, okay, this thing's out of me and I'm going to make a full recovery. Another funny line. Doctor goes, "Do you got any questions?" I go, "Yeah, when can I go back to work?" That was the first question I had after that got taken out of me. Not like, what is it or what else do I have to do? It's when can I go back to work? And my wife's in the room and the doctor just talks right over the top of me and goes, "He always like this?" And my wife's like, "Oh, you mean an idiot when it comes to his health?" "Yes, absolutely." So yeah, I mean, there was the thought for a little bit, but then that's when the doctor goes, "Well, normally we keep, you know, stitches or staples in for 2 weeks." He goes, "But for you, I'll keep it in for 3 weeks and you can't work as long as you have them in." So, but I let the organization know there, but there is that thought. And, you know, look, I've been in that situation where, you know, in my radio career, "Oh, you're fine. You know, nothing's going to," and then, you know, in this case, I thought I made a wrong turn in San Jose and, you know, literally it could be different, but you know, you have the thought, but, honestly, Rob, I try to keep anything negative away from my thought process during all that and just be like, all right, I'm just thankful I'm here. Let's move on to the next hurdle we got to clear.
Well, I only, you know, asked that question because of where you were to where you are now, achieving this, you know, what I imagine for most of us is the lifelong dream of being a play-by-play guy. And so you go from late October 2019 to getting that, you've got a basketball-sized mass in your stomach to October 2020. When did you actually get the job as the Hurricanes play-by-play voice? And by the way, replacing John Forslund. We'll get to that in a second. But yeah. Had to be like almost a year to the day type of thing?
A little bit before that. Okay. I mean, because it's – we get through the playoffs, and then you get to – September and then early October, it's kind of like, all right, this is the direction we're going to go. And we like the job that you did for us in the playoffs. And you know, we feel that this is the easiest transition to go with. And so, yeah, it was not to the day, but it was in the ballpark. And it's funny because you just go down that list of, you know, where I was a year ago thinking, you know, am I going to be here in a year or two? Now, this has always been the dream job. As you know, people who get into this industry and do what we do, you have paths you want to go to or get to. For me, it was always play-by-play. Just talk radio came up early. I'm a dinosaur, so I was part of the infancy of you know, 24-hour sports talk stations, and you know that paid the bills. And I had a girlfriend at the time who I was very serious in, and luckily she's willing to jump on planes and go to San Jose for me now. But I'm like, well, I don't know if she's going to follow me down the, you know, the play-by-play trail, wherever that would lead, considering I could stay at home. And then got another job in Richmond and then from Richmond to Raleigh. But it took me that. But yeah, I still keep waiting for somebody to tell me this last year, like the, I don't want to date ourselves here, but I keep waiting to open up the shower and Bobby Ewing is in there. It's all been a dream. You know, like, okay.
8% of the listening audience gets that reference right now, but right, I do. Yes, I do. Thank you. It's an old Dallas reference. I like it.
Exactly.
Right. Even though sports had a break, your business did not. So you have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com, the number one job site in the world. Because Indeed gets you the best people fast. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time. There are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier, like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. And with 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through December 31st. Football is back in swing. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in the action at Bet Online. Bet Online is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, Bet Online gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, championship futures all day, every day. Head to Bet Online. Online today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So I got to do, I got to fill in for Joe B during the preseason, actually against the Canes. And that was the, I've called basketball, I've called football. That was my first hockey game I had ever called. Was an NHL preseason game. And A, it's the NHL, which is amazing, but B, it's preseason. Half these guys are never going to make it. And half of those guys have names that's seemingly all, you know, all vowels. So I'm like, I can't even pronounce half these guys. And the speed at which the game goes and noticing who's at, and talking to Joe B, like he looks at the color tape on their sticks and like every little trick. When you got to call those playoff games, because Forslund, however that split was happening, he gets to call the games for NBC. How many games had you called over the years, and what was it like you're stepping into his shoes in the playoffs?
For the NHL, I had called 4, and it was on radio, and it was the year before in the Islanders playoff series, because the Canes have a simulcast. The TV broadcast is on radio. And John had the national assignment for NBC. So we still had to do the radio assignment. And, you know, I was traveling with the team, and I'm a team employee. So they know that I've done play-by-play before. I've done ACC basketball. I had done, you know, a million years ago. My college is Division III football games. Take that for what it's worth. I've done a little AAA baseball with Robert Fish and the Richmond Braves at the Diamond. So, I mean, I'd had play-by-play experience, and I had called Buffalo State hockey at the Buff State Sports Arena against Cortland, where you got half a roster from my home team and no roster from the other team. You just make it up as you go. But as far as calling a game on TV, and you know, I had never called anything, at least at that level, on TV. And, you know, it's, you can be intimidated for it, but you, I went in, I knew all of the production crew because I've been part of the TV crew. I know Trip Tracy, and I could not have asked for a better partner to help me through all of this. Plus, Trip and I had the 4 games against the Islanders the year before to work with. But yeah, when people ask, you know, what hockey game is this, after I got done calling the Rangers game in the qualifiers, I'm like, yeah, this is the 5th NHL game I've ever called in my life. So it was a little bit in – not intimidating, but you go into it with the, because you know you did it, even in preseason. And it's worse in preseason because everybody's wearing numbers in the 60s.
Right.
And if somebody turns, you're like, that's not going to be different from anything else. And line changes happen quickly. And when we say line changes, like combinations change during the course of the game in the preseason. But, you know, the weird part was I'm not in the bubble. I have to call it on TV. So every little trick that I could remember calling Division III college football, or, you know, calling a basketball game that was a blowout where, you know, they're emptying the benches. Like, you know, you look for, like you say, little things like, are sneakers different? Tough thing on a TV, you know, you can do size differences in person on a TV. Teuvo Teravainen and Marty Natchez, who both wear numbers that are in the 80s, you know, when they turn, they're the same size on a TV. But I got a lot of really good advice to, you know, just slow down. You've got the pictures that can call the action for you. So you don't have to be on top of everything. Like the radio side of me in my head is like, oh, I've got to say where the puck is all the time and what's going on. And then you realize, no, you can calm down. You can take a breath. You can let the play kind of develop as it goes through. So it was the first game, and it was, oddly enough, the, I guess we could call it the preseason game against the Capitals when everything started, Rob. Go back. I went back and listened to that game, and I'm like, they are not asking me to do the rest of this playoff. there's no way. And then I'm like, all right, well, I'm thrown in the pool, so let's do it. And like I said, the help I got along the way, but in particular, Tripp was awesome. Because Tripp, Tracy just said, partner, you call it. He's got a lot of, locker in him.
Yeah,
he's like, partner, you call it, and I'll carry the rest of the mail. And I'm like, all right, I got
Pretty much what Locker said to me. He goes, Rob, just say the names, and I'll fill in the rest. And I was like, okay, exactly. You got it.
So, but yeah, you get into it, and then, you know, once you start doing that, it just becomes fun.
Like,
you get in that rhythm. There's nothing better than especially a couple of the games were outstanding games with big plays, and, you know, that's kind of what you hope for. And I knew the Canes roster really well, and then the advantage is it's going to be the Rangers for 3 to 5 games. It'll be the Bruins for 4 to 7 games. So
right.
You got to know the other team as opposed to, are they calling somebody up or what's going to happen?
Right. No, that's a great point because, and now we're going to go down into the weeds of play-by-play calling, but you go out and call a Canes-Sharks game, for instance, you're not as familiar with that Sharks team, but you're getting the teams that you're familiar with anyway, and then you're getting them 3, 4, 5 nights in a row, or 5 games in a row. Yep. That rhythm you get into, it's like an athlete. You get into a rhythm, and then once you can identify the other team, you're just in cruise control. And like you said, at that point, you're just having a blast.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how it went down. Once I want to thank the Ranger fans who were always trying to correct me on Zibanejad. Thank you very much.
What did you call him?
I think I called him Zibanejad to start off with. Kind of the Western New Yorker in me kind of snuck in and made the BA a BI.
Were you checking social media during the game?
No, God, okay. No.
So it's up in your head, and now that's all you're thinking about?
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, there's a lot of room inside this melon. So, but the best advice I'd received was from a good friend who's like, all right, call the games, have fun. And if you look at social media, I'll break your fingers. Don't do it. Just go on. He goes, because if people say you're great, you weren't. And if people say you were awful, you weren't. Yeah. So
I remember when I was doing the Islanders for MSG Network pre and post game shows, we got about halfway through the first season. One of the guys on my crew goes, and they had a fan website at the time. And they're like, hey, have you read the message boards? I was like, no, why? And he's like, oh, don't read it. Well, now, of course, cut to like 3 o'clock in the morning. It's pitch black in my living room. I'm almost in tears. I'm like, why do they hate me? Exactly. I grew up an Islanders fan. Why are they so mean? Yeah, you can't read social media, man.
No, the funny part about it was, it was Ranger fans. So I'm like, well, I'm calling the game for the Hurricanes. So I'm sorry, Ranger fans. But I made the correction. And it's funny, I'm like, well, I'm pretty sure I heard Sam Rosen say Zibanejad, and you don't get on him.
It's okay with it. Sam Rosen. It's okay with me.
Sorry, Sam, I'm not throwing you under the bus. He does say Zibanejad. I'm just saying. You try to justify those things in your mind, but you know, like you say, you get in the rhythm and you go through everything. And I honestly was nervous of calling the Canes names right. And, you know, a team I've been around for, honestly, when I say 4 years, I've been around him for 12 plus because I've covered him in radio. So, you get into it, you're like, oh my God, what if I say Sebastian Aho's name wrong on a play? You know, you're not going to, but you have that fear. But it was good. And by the way, all young broadcasters out there, what Rob just said, never read the comments.
Never
read
the comments.
Stay away from social media.
Never, because you're right. You're never as good as they say. You're never as bad as they say. But man, each one hurts.
Oh, yeah.
I get it. It's part of the gig, but each one bad negative thing hurts.
I don't know if it's the same for you, but it's, been this way for me from when it used to be emails or faxes coming in telling you, you know, how poor you were. You could get 100 of them and 99 tell you how great you are or this is awesome. And the one that comes in, you're like, what did I do to this person? Right. What did I do? So yeah, just ignore it. But it's honestly the feedback from, you know, the people that I trust, that was what was encouraging. You know, even, you know, when you talk about critiques or all that, it was all, you know, hey, we thought you could do this, but we didn't know that we could throw you in and you would just keep getting better each game. So,
right. That's awesome.
And that was my goal, literally just to get better every game.
Right.
So,
right. You're like an athlete at that point. You want to just keep working. And yeah, I remember when I called that one game late in the game, our producer, Ryan Billy, who used to do our pre and post game shows. So I've worked him forever. He lives 5 minutes from me, like right at the end of the game, or maybe it was like the last commercial break or something. He was like, you're pitching a no hitter, bud. Finish strong. And I was like, you know what? I knew it got better by the third period. I was in a good rhythm, but you hear that, you're like, thanks, man. I appreciate it. So John Forslund, you have a relationship with him. He's, you know, it's close to a legend, if not considered a legend down there. Right. What was that like when the whole thing went down and now you got to have this conversation?
Yeah, it's awkward. And I've said it a lot. I wish circumstances were different for the opportunity. And the big reason why is you know, I've known John, you know, going on 13 years now, and he's a friend. He's a good friend. He's helped me as a broadcaster, and, you know, we were colleagues, and it was initially one of these things where I'm like, you know, I'm not replacing John. This is what was going on. We'll get sorted out. And then, you know, it doesn't. And I think that the rest of the, if people want to know and want to see the record, it's out there, you can. But, you know, as Rob, you well know, in this business, you know, things change in an instant, how things happen. And you've got to find out, all right, how do you handle it when an opportunity is presented? The best thing that happened was John called me before the start of the playoffs. I texted John and said, hey, you know, can we talk? But I just sent him a text and he goes, I'll call you in a minute. And I think he was on the phone with somebody else and he called and we had a great call. It was like close to an hour. And basically, you know, he took any of the pressure I would put on myself of, you know, it should be, or why isn't, or why am I here? He's like, you've got this opportunity. You're ready for it. You can do it. Have fun with it.
Awesome.
And that's it. And then he said, don't worry about me. And when the second he said, don't worry about me, that made it, I don't want to say easier, but that in my mind, I'm like, okay, it's, John is, he's been through everything in the industry too. Once he said, you know, have fun, don't worry about me, that was it. That any kind of thought or burden I would have of, oh, I'm replacing, and I will go on record with this, he is the best play-by-play voice in the National Hockey League. I mean, from how you talk about being smooth and calling a game and transitioning in and out, and I'm happy that the rest of the nation is really starting to see it because the profile is going up more on NBC, but he's the best. And I'm like, I can't be that. I'm not going to be that. I could try for a million years. But the second he gave me the just do you and you'll be fine, it made life so much easier. So that was, I think, for me, one of the most important things that could have happened during a transition like that, because you knew the fans were going to be cognizant of it and they were going to talk about it. And that, you know, I wasn't going to shy away from it. One of the things that luckily for me, Colin Quinn, a whole bunch of years ago, had to replace Norm MacDonald on Saturday Night Live as the Weekend Update anchor. And there was a lot behind the scenes as to why it happened. And Colin Quinn gave this monologue for the first one he took over. And it almost verbatim felt like how I felt. So, you know, the day comes where, all right, it's not going to be John, it's going to be me. I'm like, all right, social media, I'll throw this out here. Let's not, you know, pretend this isn't happening. So I found the Colin Quinn bit and I put it up and people got it and they understood it. And I think that helped out with it too.
Well, so, now I'm going to have to Google that and see exactly what it is. But now
I'll send it to you.
Okay. That's great. Yeah. Cause that, so now you got a Jamie Lee Curtis connection. You got a Colin Quinn connection.
Yeah, this is interesting.
Yeah. So, look, congratulations on that. It tells me two things about Forslund. A, he's a true pro, and B, a class guy for him to do that. You know, it's great to hear. And I've met him and dealt with him, you know, a handful of times too. And, you know, it is not surprising. Before I let you go, and I appreciate you giving me so much time and opening up about some very personal things, but the Canes themselves, as for the team, so the goalie situation, huh? They're just they're just going to ride with this and just always have the goalie situation.
Well, I think what it comes down to is everybody is looking at this team, and you know this, it used to be July 1st, but, you know, what was it, October 9th this year, which was the July 1st of free agency, it's, Rob, what are we going to do to get better? You know, I know we have Alex Ovechkin, but let's throw $10 million at another winger, right? And when you look at the math, the Hurricanes didn't have a lot of room to deal with as far as the salary cap goes to make improvements or to – I even hate to say make improvements, to at least to add to the team. Sneaky good signing of Jesper Fast from the Rangers, who comes in, and now you're looking at the Canes of, they have, you know, three really tough lines to play against, and their fourth line, don't sleep on either with what, you know, they're going to be able to put out there. But, you know, Fast is the only addition, and you know, when there's sexy names out there, everybody wants all the big free agents. And there were so many goalies who were available. And if you look at one area for the Carolina Hurricanes that you point to, you're like, well, wouldn't, and I think we can say it now because all these guys are off the market, but wouldn't the guy who was so good up the road for the Washington Capitals all those years look really good in a Carolina Hurricanes uniform in Braden Holtby? Well, you know, who's to say the team didn't make offers, but the players also have to take these offers or take whatever deal is there. And I'm not privy to every deal or even if they made offers, but I can tell you that they did. I know that they offered a few goalies who were out there on the free agent market, and however it turns out. But 2 years ago, nobody thought this team with Peter Mrazek and Curtis McElhinney were going to make the playoffs. Good and not only did they make the playoffs, they made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. Then last year, they get James Reimer by, you know, they get rid of Scott Darling's contract and bring in James Reimer. And the thought is, well, you're not going to get back to the playoffs with James Reimer and Peter Mrazek, and they get back to the playoffs. And I hate calling the qualifying round non-playoffs, but I'm not in the NHL and part of their, however they want us to use their lexicon of things, but they won a playoff series with beating the Rangers. And then, you know, they push the Bruins, even though it's 4-1, they pushed them. But I can't say that they're done. I think that the way that this team was going to improve with a big move would be through a trade because of the salary cap. And I think everybody's looking at, well, free agency, they didn't do this, they didn't do that. I'll go back to last year. They add Vincent Trocheck and they add Brady Shea, and they didn't rent them. Those were players with term who are going to be on the team this year, who were not part of the plans for 2/3 of the season last year. So for anybody who's talking about, you know, what addition did the Canes make, Trocheck and Shea were, I think, their free agent spending because they added those contracts to this season. Are they done? Probably via free agency they are, but I don't think that they're necessarily done trying to make the team better. And, oh, by the way, they have a really good young Russian player who they're going to have to pay a lot of money to because he is on his way to being a superstar in this league, and Andrei Svechnikov. They have to set aside money if they want to keep Dougie Hamilton because his contract is up at the end of this season. So they have to keep some money free for some players who are out there. Some comes off of the books, but – yeah, everybody asked, are they going to ride with it? Yeah, I think they're going to ride with it just because they've gotten some results in the past. And this is a team, if they get average NHL goaltending with the team that's in front of them, they're going to be a good team. They're going to be a playoff team. The question then comes into, it's you know, it's always, it's, I'll use a football analogy. When you got a team that's kind of middling or, you know, not a, quote, Super Bowl contender, you either bring in a free agent or the backup is always the better option than the guy you have. So, well, this is a team that's going to ride with the two guys that they have, and they'll give them decent goaltending. And I think that's really what they need. And Peter Mrazek can get hot in a playoff series. We saw that, you know, last year, 2 years ago, against the Caps. You know, he made the saves when he needed. Sorry.
Ridiculous.
But he made the saves when they needed, especially in that game seven. So, yeah, it's what they'll ride with. But we'll see. This is a team in a front office that's shown that if there's a move to be made, they're not afraid to make that move. So
I love the team. I it was funny because like three, four years ago, they were like the it team for a couple of years. And I was always like, I'm not buying it. They're not ready yet. I'm not buying it. And now I'm all in. I love them. I thought you did a presidential type of pivot from my question about the goalies to how great the team is. And then eventually came back to the goalies, but it was very well done. But I think it is just a loaded team. And I expect big things. I would have liked to, if I was a Canes fan, I would say, man, I wish they would have addressed the goaltending with so many goalies out there. But salary cap being what it is, especially this year at the flat cap, tough to do anything. So,
and they also had to bring back two key players who were restricted free agents in Hayden Fleury and Warren Fogle, who they signed before they went to arbitration. You know, there was, like I said, Rob, there just wasn't, if there was $10 million at the cap to play with,
right,
I think you probably would have seen, I think you would have seen this team make a move, or at least be a little bit more all in on a goaltender when it gets to that. Thank you for the pivot. I've been watching a lot of politics lately, if you haven't told. I'll go back to what you said about 4 years ago when they were the it team and people and why you weren't buying it. When you cover a team, you want to believe it. But then you'd look and you're like, where's the offense going to come from?
Yeah,
and
that's what I kept saying.
That was the big – well, now the offense is there with Aho, Teravainen, and Svechnikov. And now we'll see if Vincent Trocheck can get back to the all-star that he was a few years ago. But you're better in the middle than you have ever been even during those years. Defensively – I'll put this back six up against anybody else in the league when you talk about, especially when they're healthy, who you want to put up there. But they've got more scoring punch now. And I think that's where there was so much focus on the goaltenders in the past that you were asking goalies to try to win games 2-1, and that's almost impossible to do in this league unless you were, you know, unless time work back to the 90s and New Jersey can come back into play. So the offense really does help these two goaltenders. So I think they're good enough to get this team back to the playoffs. And I've seen it with my own eyes 2 years in a row. So no reason for me to doubt it.
Well, I will say it was a smart move to re-sign Fogle. But as a Caps follower and fan, if there's one guy I could punch right in the nose, man, he is a pain in the ass to play against. But that's a good player too. I like him a lot.
Washington seems to have a guy who's really annoying to play against and actually does run around and punch people in the nose. I don't know if you've noticed him. Is it Tom Wilson?
Yeah,
I've got to get the names. Yeah, I've got to get the names right. Right.
You're going to work on that. Yes, exactly. I think whether you're calling it on TV or not, he's bigger than the rest of the guys. You'll be able to see that on TV. Yeah.
My favorite. I've called a few Caps games to that end when we talk about like play by play on radio, and every time Tom Wilson somehow has like a Wayne Gretzky-esque game against the Carolina Hurricanes. So I am well versed in what Tom Wilson can do.
Yes. It's a good little rivalry that's brewed up. I like that rivalry a lot. Mike, I really appreciate your time. Your story is fascinating. I'm happy that you're healthy right now, that you're happy, that you've got a lot of success going for you, and I hope it continues. Thanks so much for your time, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Anytime, Rob. Thank you.
I told you. That is – it's a lot. It's a lot. I can't imagine being in a hospital bed, getting that news, and, he sort of downplays because he said, most sane people would have dealt with it in L.A. where he was for the TV broadcast. But you also have to think, like, I'm on a team charter. How am I getting to San Jose? Because he's not expecting that news. How am I going to get to San Jose? How am I going to get back across the country? You know, like your first instinct when you're on the road, and I've done this, is I just got to work. I got to get on the plane. I'll go to a hotel. I'll work. And then I'll figure this all out, because your schedule is not your own. You are entirely on their schedule. And most importantly, in the travel part of it, the game is one thing. The morning skate is one thing. But the traveling and the getting from place to place, and trying to book a flight last second, that's a huge pain in the ass. So when you've got this team charter that you're supposed to be on, like, your whole world revolves around, I got to get out, I got to get on that bus, I got to get to the charter. Like, that's the whole thing, because you can't be late. You can't be late for that. They're not going to wait for the pregame and postgame host. So it's nerve-wracking. And again, no one's expecting to get the news that you've got a basketball-sized lump in your stomach. So I get why he was hesitant to go to a hospital in L.A. I just can't imagine being that far away from, you know, your world, and when you get that news. But it sounds good. He's got to live with the fact that this could and very well sounds like will come back at some point and will be aggressive. But you live day to day. We all are right now, but certainly he's going to live day to day, and he's going to enjoy the hell out of these days, because these days right now are very good for Mike Maniscalco. And you could just tell, such a good guy, a personable guy, a fun guy. You could understand why the team likes him, why ownership and management, you know, are so fond of him. He's easy to talk to. And Mike and I have met a couple of times, but that's the longest conversation we've had. So he's just one of those dudes that's easy to talk to and easy to root for and easy to be happy for getting this shot. And Carolina is going to be good. I mean, you think about all that good young talent. He loves Svechnikov, and for good reason. Svechnikov's going to be a star in this league for a long time. They have to fill the shoes of Justin Williams, and they weren't great before Justin Williams came back from his little sabbatical. And that's going to be a huge loss in the room, on the ice. Son of a bitch did it to the Caps a couple of years ago. But he, Jesper Fast is a good player, but he's not a heart and soul guy like Justin Williams. So they'll have to deal with that, but, the talent is there. And, you know, so many of those guys, God, we've gotten so familiar with the Canes now over the last couple of years. That Martin Natchez, I think he's going to be a really good player too. Team of Teravainen, Dougie Hamilton. I mean, they're just loaded. It brought back Fleury, and they're a loaded team. Defense is really good. The goalie situation is a question mark for them. But again, thanks to Mike for opening up, because he's done it before. He did a great story with Sarah Sivian of the Athletic. So he's told the story, but I thought it'd be interesting because, you know, we're so familiar with Carolina and so familiar with John Forslund, and we will get to be familiar with Mike Maniscalco now in the future, as he's the new TP play-by-play boy. So again, thanks to him. Hope you enjoyed. Please, again, a reminder, subscribe. The most important thing, download, leave a rating, and write a review. But the Capitol Building Podcast, part of Blue Wire Podcasts. Hope you enjoyed this episode of Mike Maniscalco. There'll be more, much more to come, more fascinating interviews to come as well. So we will talk again soon. Let's go, Caps.